Project doing another episode of Monster in a Glass, the podcast where we explore a different cocktail each episode, figure out where it was made, who made it, why the fuck they made it, where it is, when it is, all that stuff.
Who it is.
I'm waving my arms wildly because that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
When talking about all of this cool stuff. But we don't just do the cocktails. We also talk about the history of the places and the people and the things that were happening at that time. The reason why the cocktail was named what it was named and what it meant to the people then. So that's why we say that we're not just doing history of the cocktails. We're doing history through the cocktails. Okay, so I'm joined here by Mr. Jason Cruz.
Hello.
He handles all of the research for the cocktails. He looks in lots of really old books and drinks lots of things that make his vision blurry.
You know, and I was just telling them about the Campari.
Yeah.
I was like, I drank a whole glass of Campari. And they're like, why? I was like, what were we tasting? And they're like, why didn't you just take a sip? And I'm like, because it's wasted.
Because I couldn't stop.
So I'll drink anything, pretty much, once.
And we're also here with Professor Mick, the Bone Dr. Layman.
I profess.
And he bones.
Doctor. I profess that I bone frequently. All over town. I'll tell my wife.
Tonight we're featuring the Jupiter cocktail.
It's out of this world.
You've been waiting the whole time.
I've been waiting. You to say,
wah, wah, yeah, wah,
astronomical.
Wah.
I hate punning, and yet
no,
I
got a pun.
Resist.
Well, you got to.
You got a pun.
You are a father now, so...
Yeah, it's required. It's required.
Okay, Jupiter. Jupiter is a Greek god. Actually, no, Jupiter is a Roman god.
There it is.
Zeus would be the Greek god.
Hey, we got there.
The father of all the gods.
There it is.
He flung lightning.
Yeah, like not really, but sort of.
Yeah.
Like father, brother, weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uncle god.
I just found the name of a band.
That's great. I'll be Dancing Uncle Truth God. And you can be Uncle God, dude. We'll be on the same fucking set. It'll be great.
And you'll be playing to no one.
Yeah, to no okay. one.
So Zeus, he was the hurler of lightning bolts, and he was the leader on Mount Olympus. And
he's got the beard with the perfect pecs.
Yeah, I think he's often pictured that way. But he's also appeared on Earth as a golden shower.
Oh, Jesus. Great.
And I think also birds and other things, because he had to get around and impregnate lots of mortals and
that
make
was
lots
the kid.
Of children.
As you
that
do when you're Uncle God.
Yeah.
When you're Uncle God.
Well, what else do you have to do?
Now that you just said that, what else do you do when you're a god? Like, if you were the god or a god, what do you do all day? Of course you go out and impregnate
create.
Mortals. Or
you procreate. Like,
you're like,
spread it around.
Well,
and Saturday. I'm
even
bored.
More than the... even more than the Judeo-Christian God that we know and know.
know and have heard of.
This is hilarious.
We haven't even talked about what the rest of
Uncle God.
And... You must not be named, but we love it so.
Yahweh, man. More than the typical god that we think of, the Greek gods were much more fallible and mm-hmm. liked to fuck around with mortals and stuff, and they would torture each other and do horrible Dwarf, things, and
god.
Just and yeah,
they
so
were
I think,
way more entertaining. I think.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what's like. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, no fire and brimstone without.
Yeah. They without even... venereal disease and
yeah.
lots
golden
of
golden showers,
lots of children you don't want.
And, yeah. Hercules and many-headed snakes and sea monsters and winged horses and ugly women that turned you to stone. And
I mean,
yeah,
really.
I know it's just like amazing stuff. Yeah. But along the way, the Romans co-opted the Greek gods because that's what they did. They just went around and took everybody's great ideas. Yeah. And apparently this was a great idea. And they made Zeus into Jupiter, and that name carried forth through the years and then became associated with a planet in our sky, or in the heavens. And somehow, there is a drink named the Jupiter cocktail, and we're assuming that in that story I just related, that very brief, vague story, that there is a connection. And God, and Jay's going to tell us exactly what that connection is, because he did the research and he knows perfectly well exactly how it fits in.
I will tell you a story. I will tell you something.
Well, that's good.
Let's talk about the recipe first. The recipe is gin, dry vermouth, parfait amour, and orange juice. And as soon as I said parfait amour, Cam reached for the parfait amour.
Parfait amour!
And, you know, it's funny.
Purple
it's
love.
Perfect, man.
Do you know what's funny is that...
The cap is, like, stuck to it.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, almost like hard candy at this point. Like, it's...
Only the kiss of true love can
I remember tasting this before and going, oh, that's bad. And
see, look, the dust on the outside is almost like
that's
we just...
Nice.
Like we ground Jolly Ranchers
you got a,
around
you
the...
You got a crust right there. That's nice. You're fancier than you know you are.
Higgs says it tastes like grape jelly beans and marshmallows. And I was like, yeah, that's the taste it was. Because it looks
that's
like
a great combination.
It's a combination.
A combination.
Jelly bean s'mores.
It looks, seriously, it looks like
from the floor of the minivan
pasta.
Comes.
From the floor of I can't remember. Was this the one that you said smelled like Alaskan twine?
No.
That was the one you had mentioned earlier that you drank a bunch
that
of,
was,
right?
That was a rare cardamom-based... Oh. Amaro.
I'm going to say this smells like Alaskan twine, too. I don't know what that smells like. It looks like melted popsicle and...
Yeah, it looks like melted purple popsicle.
I think you're on with that one.
Yeah, grape jelly beans and marshmallow. No, he's totally right.
And that's it. I mean, that's it.
It is something that you definitely want to drink in a cocktail, not by itself.
Like that, yeah.
Maybe soda water.
No, I have no problem with this. It's sweet and kind of cloying.
I could see sipping on this.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I like marshmallows.
Okay. A night of drinking parfait amour. Whoever throws up purple first.
That's
it's like licking a unicorn's ass all night. Delicious.
But the next morning, with the amount of sugar that's in this, I bet, you're just like, oh shoot.
You want to, yeah. No way.
You need to eat... Like the biggest, greasiest burger right after. Just to...
Almost with it.
Salt.
Almost with it, really.
Drink a bottle of salt.
It's like a chicken and waffles thing.
Yeah. Parfait amour is kind of the only standout in this drink. I mean, when you look at the recipe, gin, dry vermouth, parfait amour, orange juice, there's nothing really outstanding in there. We've come across the parfait amour with the Blue Paradise. And just to recap what we talked about before with the parfait amour, it's a violet-scented sweet liqueur. And it comes in a range of colors, usually red to purple are the most common. And it seems to have been invented, based on what I found, in the Netherlands in the 18th century. And it first made its appearance in England in the early 19th century. And it is purple. There's no doubt about that. I don't remember what it's made out of, but it is purple in a way that is that unnatural candy.
It's showing oranges, but that doesn't mean shit, I guess.
I'm sure it's made with, like, red dye.
Number cancer.
Nowadays. I don't know. Maybe beetle shells. What did they put in that shit? I don't know.
They're not allowed to use beetle shells anymore.
No, I know. But in the day.
God damn them.
Yeah, I know.
I want my beetle
shells. It's all natural.
This ingredient is not very common. I see it from time to time. But it's not very common. The only time I see it used a lot is... In
hipster bars.
William, the only William. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
In hipster bars.
Is that the new Malort? I mean, like, possibly.
No.
Can we make it the new Malort?
People will like it too much. Malort is all
true.
About making people eat it.
That's true.
It says it made from oranges.
I think it's got some florals in there, too.
Yeah. This bottle.
Well, if it has violet, maybe they're putting flowers in it.
I mean, look at this bottle. This is just clock the crap out of somebody. It's got a long neck.
It's made for hitting.
It is made for hitting. Anyway, sorry.
That would be the...
Purple makes me
angry.
That would
be the worst night ever if you were, like, you woke up in a police station and you're like, I don't know what happened. And they're like, you got drunk on Parfait Amour.
Yeah.
Shit out of some homeless guy.
With the bottle.
With the bottle.
You beat someone with Parfait Amour.
Scum of the earth.
Right. You're the worst. But,
you have to watch that Perfect Love.
Next time I go into a bar, I'm going to be like, shot a Parfait Amour. Keep them coming. Throw down 100. It's purple. Just give me the bottle. Like, dude, get out. I mean, I would hope they would say
yeah, that. Hopefully.
I got to my bar.
Just wait till it.
That's so gotta be done.
Yeah. Give it to me!
I said Parfait Amour.
Oh, that'd be great.
I want to do that shit all the time, too.
I can I just sit in a booth and watch it or film it? Yes. Just to watch?
All of it. But Parfait Amour, the only place I really see it used a lot is William, the only William Schmidt, who uses it. He uses a lot of Parfait Amour. Like, more than, it's like, you go through and you see, like, oh, this recipe book has one drink with Parfait Amour, and he's, like, got 19.
Wow.
And it's like, but he's really, like, known as a true mixologist, and
he would have crushed purple velvet.
That's what I want to imagine he did, because he would have, like, he would use lots of fragrant liqueurs, and he would have no fewer than, like, 70 ingredients per drink. Now, I'm looking at the drink color of the Jupiter cocktail, and it kind of looks like diluted Windex. I'm guessing that comes from the Parfait Amour, but I'm trying to imagine the combination. So you have the gin, the vermouth, which are going to be clear, and then the orange juice and the Parfait Amour. Now, last time I checked, orange and purple didn't make
blue, yeah. It's going to be brown.
So I'm not sure where that
goes. Well, I'm kind of wondering if the orange juice just settles in the bottom or something.
It's possible. It is so little orange juice. It is actually just a teaspoon. And, it's also just a teaspoon of Parfait Amour. So that's where it's like, where does that diluted Windex color come from? I started looking at recipe books, trying to figure out where I could, you know, where this came from. And what Haig mentions right away is that, sort of touching on a thing that we've talked about a lot, sort of these trifectas of where it appears. He says it shows up in Harry McElhenney's book, and then in Harry Craddock in the Savoy Cocktail book, and then Patrick Cavendish. And that's exactly what I found. I found it nowhere else. It shows up in those three books. McElhenney's book is the first one in 1923. He gives the exact recipe. And then Savoy Cocktail book and Jupiter Cocktail shows up again in Patrick Cavendish, which we know. As we talk about it, it's just, that's sort of the pattern.
Yeah.
Harry... Patrick. It's the same recipe. So there really wasn't much to it. I mean, I'm guessing that Harry McElhenney came up with the drink. It's not an unusual drink. It's no different than the Bronx cocktail, really, or the income tax cocktail, with the exception of the Parfait Amour. I mean, this is, again, one of these drinks that's like gin and vermouth. So throw some orange juice in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's a lemon juice.
That's what's separating the drinks, is an ingredient, you know? Mm.
There really wasn't any history. I couldn't find anything about why the name Jupiter. I mean, as you were saying, my guess is it's either named after the planet or the Roman god. And I did start digging around, because if Harry McElhenney came up with it, so that puts him around the 1920s in Britain. So I started just looking around and seeing, like, what was coming up with Jupiter in Britain at the time.
Yeah.
And I did come across something that said that there was a boat called the HMS Jupiter in World War I, and that, hearkening back to the Gimlet cocktail that Harry McElhenney had, he was in the Royal British Navy. So I was like, oh, look at that. But the more I looked at it, they actually had boats by the name of HMS Jupiter, basically from, say, 1778 till 1997. So it wasn't the first one. It was just another one. That, like, one would sing and they go, name it the Jupiter again. And then that was pretty much it. This one in particular that was in World War I was built in 1895. And in 1916, it was actually in Russia working as an icebreaker. So during World War I, it was in Russia. Then when it did eventually come back to England during World War I to Devonport, which is on the southwest coast. And I remember that Harry was in the Royal Air Force, which was part of the Royal Navy at the time. He was there from September 1916 to February 1918. And remembering back to the Gimlet, I didn't think this was one of the ships he... It was an unusual enough name of a ship that I didn't think it was one of the ones that he was on. But then I started thinking, like, well, maybe he even heard of it. But so I was trying to, like, map... I was mapping it out. I was like, okay, here's Devonport. And then he was on the President II and the Daedalus. And the President II was in Bristol, which was kind of like... It's northeast of where Devonport was. So it wasn't that close. And then the Daedalus was in Dunkirk, which is way on the other side of Britain. So, I was like, well, you know, I was like, well, maybe he just knew of the existence of the HMS Jupiter. Maybe that's possible. But so I was like, well, how many boats did the British Navy have during World War I? I was like, how many could there be? There was a fucking lot. There was like 450 ships in the Royal Navy in 1914. Wow. And it was like, you probably did not hear of the HMS Jupiter. The fact that it was being used as a Russian icebreaker... And then brought back, and it was...
Well, it was because they had that magazine article on all the icebreakers in Russia at the time.
Right. Yeah. The pin-up calendar of the Russian icebreaker.
It was a riveting article.
Folded it out.
I mean, by the time it came back to England, it was actually right after the war ended, they scrapped the boat. So it must have been in bad shape already. And that's 450 ships in the Royal Navy. That's not even including all the ships that they were just like... Fishing boat is now part of the Navy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's almost no way he, you know, unless by chance he came across the name, it probably was not the reason that he named the Drake.
It's more likely he just knew about the planet.
That's what I started looking at, and I was like, okay, well, now let's look at the time period. What was going on with Jupiter at the time? And it's a short window of time between
the god?
No, the planet.
Well, yeah, they checked, you know.
He was making his way through England.
What's Jupiter doing?
Making his way through England. Impregnating all sides of it.
That's where Churchill comes from.
Straight from Jupiter's penis. Maybe it was the name of his penis, Jupiter.
Churchill's?
Salt.
No, the bartender. Yeah.
That, you know what? That's about as good a guess as any.
Right?
Because when I looked into it, I was like, well, let's see. Because maybe, you know, maybe they were making discoveries about Jupiter at the time.
Well, when did they know about Jupiter?
7th century BC.
The Babylonians.
The Babylonians.
The Babylonians.
Babylonians.
That's right.
They were all very tiny.
Yeah, I mean, the Babylonians and the Persians were just all about the stars.
They knew some stuff.
Yeah, so And you think about it, and the crazy thing is that, like, you know, you look at the Persian Empire, you look at the Babylonian Empire, and when we read them in books, it's a chapter of 2, 3, 5 pages.
Yeah.
And
there were people in the Middle East, and you're like, oh
nice.
Cool.
But you don't realize that these things were around for 1,000 years a shot. One of the crazy things that I heard once was that the Persian emperor, I don't know if it was Cyrus or Darius, sent an archaeological expedition to one of the ancient cities nearby that was 1,000 years old because they wanted to find out about their fucking ancestors.
That's fucking crazy.
And so, like, we're looking back 1,000 years to find out about Cyrus and Darius.
What the fuck?
But 1,000 years before them, their ancestors were making
crazy
cities and stuff. And so, like...
And all they found was Alien and Predator?
Yeah. It was a bloodbath.
It's the last time they did that.
Yeah.
No, that's seriously insane.
I know. You don't think about that because, you know, our scope is so limited.
It really is.
So if you think about that, these empires that were looking up at the stars and making a science out of it, I mean, this was... You know, astrology was a serious science, and they were doing math and incorporating a lot of math and physics in order to track these things.
Right.
So, you know, it wasn't entirely boogity boogity, but at the same time, even the things that we would consider woo, they had reasons for them. They had determined a whole system for everything, and even if it's not, it makes no sense to us now because of the way we think. For them, it really did.
Right.
And this kind of science went on for a very long time. Hundreds, if not thousands of years, so...
I mean, as long as we've been around, almost, like, there are way of thinking.
Exactly.
Almost, and it's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we don't think of it that way, only because we don't have any information. We've got 5 pages of information. Right. And we got it off of a wall.
It gets glossed over.
That was mostly eroded.
Right. So, or that ISIS just blew up.
Yeah.
You dicks!
So, the first time Jupiter was seen in a telescope was the 17th century.
It's kind of big.
It's fucking large.
It's the largest planet in our solar system. It's the fifth one in the solar system. It's a gas giant, primarily made of hydrogen and helium. And it's the third brightest object in our sky.
Which is weird. I don't know enough about science. Sky stuff. Astronomy.
Sky stuff. Sky cake or whatever.
Whatever your fancy astrology or astronomy. I mean, I've seen Saturn with a telescope. Like, just a regular old kid's telescope. And it was... It almost blew my...
It totally blows your
9-year-old mind. I was like... That's not, like, I kept doing that thing where I'm, like, looking at the sky and then looking back and then, like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can see Saturn. You think you, like, Jupiter's so huge. And if it's, like, one of the brightest things in our sky. Of course, we live in Chicago, so you can't see shit. you basically can't see stars, so.
Maybe they looked at it and it looked like the fucking drink, though, all muddy, and they're like, yeah, fuck that planet.
Yeah, whatever that is, that's a bad
Here, wipe off the lens. What the shit?
Well, I was thinking.
Looks like Windex.
I was thinking that maybe it was the way it looked.
Yeah.
But Jupiter is red and stripy. It looks like marble or agate. Yeah. And it looks nothing like this drink. And it's got that big red spot, the storm. That storm has been going since the 17th century.
And you can fit, like, multiple Earths in it or some shit.
Oh, God. It's huge.
Planets are so cool.
Thinking about all this stuff makes me, like, it makes me upset. Seriously, like, if I start thinking about space and how big it is, after a while I'm like, I need to stop because... Yeah. I can't hit my brain can't handle
right.
all
Why
this
are there boner pills and shit, dicks?
Like, we're just a solar system. Right. We're not even like there are light years. What does that mean?
I joke with my wife about I want to see the planet from the moon's perspective, like, because we should probably get there as a tourist thing by the time we're 80.
Soon.
As long as...
They were just granted permission to land on the moon.
Again?
Well...
But, like, as a privateer thing? Like,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like SpaceX?
Yeah.
Kick ass. But that's one of the things I want to see, is that perspective, is to see our Earth from up in space. I think that'd just be mind-blowing.
So, I was even thinking maybe it was the way it looked. And I was like, had they seen it before? You know, so clearly they had. They knew what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But this drink doesn't look like that. No. It looks more like Neptune.
Yes,
it really does.
You're right. Yeah. And maybe that was already taken, and so...
Or maybe he just screwed up. He looked at the in the wrong part of the sky.
He was like,
that's Neptune. Jupiter, like, right? And like, no, that's Neptune. He's like, whatever.
Or he got the gods cocktail. Confused. He's like, Jupiter, the god of the ocean, right? Because he's only
drink
a fucking bartender, you know?
Just fucking drink it.
Yeah, and when that's... Initially, what I thought, too, I was like, well, let's see what it looks like. And then I was like, that's not what Jupiter looks like
right?
at all.
Yeah.
Not even close. But then I started looking, so I was trying to pinpoint a time period when he might have been... When Jupiter might have meant something to him as a bartender. So, he's in the Air Force, 1916 to 1918. He starts working at Ciro's Bar, 1919. He publishes his book in 1923, but he's already got drinks in the hopper, right? So... There's a short window of time. So let's say 1916 to 1923, but basically more likely 1917 to 1920. We're looking at things happening with Jupiter.
Okay.
And I found a couple things in newspapers, but they were talking about it like as... I mean, it was weird. It was, you know, like, hey, you know, they do that now. They're like, if you look to the sky tonight, the moon will be full. And you're like, whoa, what? Full moon? Mm-hmm. Crazy. But this is like Jupiter, and you're like, who? But like at the time, no TV.
Yeah, but so. and also like anytime any scientist discovers the smallest thing about, it's like, did you know that Jupiter wiggles 0.01% to the left and right? You know, it's just like
we just discovered that.
Oh shit! Jupiter's cool.
Well, that's kind of what it was like. I mean, these newspaper articles, there wasn't
very much.
And I don't
blame them. I mean,
was there one, like, Jupiter impregnates 500 women?
Yeah. That was the one I was like, That's unusual.
That's actually interesting because the moons surrounding Jupiter,
some gravity,
are his
ladies.
The women that
goddesses, like their names.
They're not goddesses. They're the names of mortals.
Oh, so demigods or whatnot.
Who then gave birth to people like Hercules and
Perseus.
And do you know, we just recently sent a satellite or a probe out to explore Jupiter. Guess what the name of that probe was?
Perseus.
No.
Hera.
It was Hera. Checking out.
Awesome.
She was pissed.
So Hera
find those bitches and take care of them.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what she
I bet.
You know,
that's were really great. Astronauts are awesome, dude. Or NASA. Those guys are great.
Yeah. And for people their who don't know, is Hera so is the goddess. She was basically the queen. She was Zeus's
wife.
Her name in Roman mythology is Juno. And so the idea here is that they sent this probe out to watch Jupiter, and she was always
see what he was up to.
Yeah, exactly. She was always very jealous of Zeus, and always
that was the dynamic.
Checking things out. Yeah. In fact, she sent a couple of poisonous vipers after Hercules in his bed when he was a baby. Hercules, of course, killed them as an infant.
As you do
when you're Hercules.
How many vipers did you kill when you were a baby?
At least 15. Every other day. Jesus. So yeah, that's a little bit more fun stuff about Jupiter, but
and there was really nothing going on. The most significant, I mean, most of it was like, if you looked at the night sky, like, you'll see Jupiter and Saturn and Mars, and you're like, great, why would Harry Magdalene give a shit about this? The closest thing that was like exciting news was that they discovered the ninth satellite of Jupiter in 1917. In August 7, 1917. He was still in the Air Force at that time. It probably didn't make it to him because there was kind of a war going on. So, even that, I was like, I'm pretty sure there was nothing going on with Jupiter that it would have, like, reached his... You know, if he's making drinks and he's like, oh, did you hear? They discovered the ninth satellite of Jupiter. Let's make a drink. And I was like, nah, it's... I'm pretty sure that's not what he was doing.
Was he into astrology, though?
Or astronomy?
Nothing that I...
You could tell.
That indicates it.
That would have been a cool connect, man. Like, he's, like, leader of a cult or something.
Hanging with the Rosicrucians. Right. Who were the other group?
The Crowley folks?
The Hermetic Dawn. Order.
Mm, yeah.
Of the Golden Dawn, yeah.
The Hermetic Seal.
Wait, did he... Was he responsible? No, he wasn't responsible for the Golden Dawn.
No.
No, that was...
I don't remember.
That was a contest winner.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was really nothing there. I mean, I couldn't find anything. And Harry McElhinney really didn't ever give indications of why he named anything.
The other thing is that we haven't 100% verified that McElhinney was the one who did it.
That's true. I didn't find it anywhere else, but the ingredients, too, are, you know, gin and vermouth and orange juice.
So it could have been a guy in the same bar who made it, who had a fascination with planetology or whatever.
Right.
Or Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Could have been a bartender down the street. Could have been any number of things.
I mean, it could, for all we know, it could have been the name of a place that sold vacuum. You know, like,
yeah.
That's the thing. Is like, it was...
It's a common name.
How many years, how many thousands of years that Jupiter was a thing?
Yeah.
And so, like, it could have been the name of any business on the street he was a bartender.
As Jupiter, less than a thousand.
As Jupiter. But, like, still, 1,000 years
But it's a great name to sell stuff.
Yeah.
It's so prevalent.
Yeah.
You know, we're the biggest. We're Jupiter.
We're the leader.
We sell the biggest balls. I don't know. Like, something like
we're going to impregnate you.
We throw lightning bolts.
Yeah. I don't know why our business isn't working. We've been advertising how many lightning bolts we can throw, and
nobody
will hire us.
No.
So, okay. So we don't really know.
No. This one, when there was... this was one of the ones that very little...
Ever but in a way, it kind of follows the same thing as, say, the Derby, in the sense that it's a word everybody knows... Why not name it after this thing?
Sure.
Because people are going to identify with it. It's going to be out of this world, or it's going to, you know, it's the king, or it's, you know, it's Roman. It's there's any number of reasons, but it's popular. People know it, so it's not surprising.
You know, I just thought, and I don't know if this is something that for some reason it popped into my head, and it's probably actually not a thing, but I feel like is there a thing where you say by Jupiter, like, instead of like
by Zeus's beard kind of thing,
by like, or, you know, like, by Jove, like, this is, if somebody tasted the drink, like, by Jupiter's beard,
yeah,
you know, possibly, like, yeah, that'd be a good name, Jupiter.
Only in Harry Potter. I don't know, I haven't heard.
I didn't explore it either. I doubt it. It's just,
well, but with the other society types, wasn't there a neoclassicism, like, what's the movement with the art and the, I'm drawing a blank, Art Deco, that's what I'm thinking, you know, that kind of stuff, like, where they were very into the mysticism, Egyptology, astrology, those words that evoke certain things. I agree. I mean, it's been around for a while. It does something to you when you think of whatever. I mean, Jupiter has like a free association for people, whether it's for God or a planet, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's true. And it's made of Windex. So.
It looks awful.
I seriously, I want to know. I want to know if Michael can make this drink look like that. Because
there's
the ingredients that I see in the list don't seem to make that.
Even with, it seems like if you put a dash of orange juice, it would just turn brown.
I think it'll just create the red spot on the side. Nice.
Some blood. Just flex some blood in there.
I think it'll just sink it to the bottom or something.
It's a tablespoon of orange juice compared to, tablespoon. But it's, you also have 1.5 ounces of gin and 3/4 ounce of vermouth. So you have 2 ounces of clear liquid and then a teaspoon of parfait amour. And I could see that, like, when you drop it in there and be like, boop, that's turning a little bit blue.
And the orange is just going to sink.
If it creates a red dot, that'd be awesome. Yeah, then you could be like, it looks like fucking Jupiter. Yeah, it's got a red spot.
Looks like a blue Jupiter.
Well, when was the red spot? They've seen that forever?
No, the red spot, the storm developed in the 17th century.
So it wasn't news of the day of 19 whatever.
No. So, okay. Well, I think we've gone as far as we can on the Jupiter cocktail. Yeah,
by Jupiter's beard. I'm going to start saying that.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go drink one.
You should sing, by Jupiter's beard, Michael. Give me a Jupiter cocktail.
Jupiter, impregnate me in the mouth.
Then,
whoa.
He hit me with the parfait amour bottle.
Yeah, that thing will clock you good, man.
Impregnate me in the bottle.
The Jupiter cocktail. 1.5 ounces Broker's gin. 3/4 ounce Via dry vermouth. 1 teaspoon Marie Brizard's parfait amour. 1 teaspoon orange juice.
And hello, everyone. We are here at Ward 8, our new liquid playground. We're here. We're going to have the Jupiter cocktail. I'm joined here by Nicole Pizzini.
Hello.
Nicole, when it comes to Jupiters, are you more of a fan of the god or the planets?
The god. Not everyone can give birth out of their skull.
That is an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
With a hammer.
Yeah, you know.
Even.
Well, you got to get her out, so.
And that was kind of like turning the tables on him. And we're also here with Mr. Eric Martin.
Hail Caesar.
So Eric probably likes the god as well.
Actually, no, I empathize with anyone who gets big red spots.
Okay. There's a cream for that.
Not for the kind we get.
Anti-storm cream.
Anti-storm cream. We're also here with Mr. Jason Ranville on his maiden voyage with Black Liver Project.
Hello.
And Jason, what when it comes to gods and planets, where do you stand?
I think in this case I'm going to have to fall on the side of the planet, because for as much as Jupiter the god I'm sure thought he was pretty into something, you know, the planet's pretty big, which means its attractiveness in the sense of gravity is pretty large. So I'm going to guess it outweighs even a god.
Yeah, especially those gods. They tended to be, like, more mortal than most mortals, actually.
They're kind of ephemeral, right? Like,
yeah.
They're kind of just flitting around all of them.
Yeah, they, yeah. Yeah.
You can't trust a god, is kind of my point.
No, absolutely.
Thanks, Loki.
Okay. We have some tasting to do. We had Anders here at Ward 8 give us some samples of the Parfait Amour. Just like we did in the front part of the show, you got to drink the Jelly Bean Marshmallow Goo.
It really does look like purple Kool-Aid.
Or melted purple popsicle.
Yes, that's exactly it.
What do you think of Perfect Love?
Is that what we're calling it?
That's the French translation.
Yeah.
Well, when have the French really been right?
Grape, jelly bean, and marshmallow?
I think that's an apt description. I'm not a fan, personally.
I was
very sweet.
I was going to say it tastes to me, I can see the grape jelly bean, but to me it tastes more like burning Dimetap.
Yeah.
Can we say Dimetap? Is someone going to get sued if we say Dimetap?
With our 50s of listeners, I think we're safe for now. I'll make a meme with it later. With flaming Dimetap. So
what, just the flaming kinds?
Just that. I presume, you know. Although I don't know. Who knows what's available in China?
What did you think of the goo?
I'm not super big on syrupy sweet, and this drink goes for syrupy sweet.
When Anders was taking the cap off, he had to bang it on the counter, on the bar, because the cap had sealed in like a hard candy crust.
I bet you our now missing Bethany Lang would love this drink. She loves everything berries, floral, sweets.
Now, we've tried it before with, I believe it was the Blue Paradise.
Yeah.
And I think that she really dug it.
Yeah, I think it was generally enjoyed by all.
I like it. I could drink this by a fire and read poetry.
It's mostly inoffensive, but I'd rather have something else.
Of course you would.
I feel like you could give that to children.
Oh, absolutely.
With a free conscience.
Why do you think they discontinued Dimetap?
They just wanted to make me angry. It was a personal vendetta from the CEO.
Now, the drink itself looks kind of like Windex. And we were wondering, when we were discussing it before, how the combination of gin, vermouth, and orange juice with a tiny bit of Parfait Amour makes Windex.
Oh, well, okay, so you've got like this deep, dark purple, and then the orange juice lightens it up and also gives it
makes it brown and murky.
Yes, because orange juice is more opaque, you're giving a backdrop now to with that purple color, so that could make it more blue
but not clear.
I'll have to see it. No,
we were thinking maybe it sank to the bottom.
Maybe
I can actually see the Windex component on that one, because like when you So tasting the Parfait Amour, it has a little bit of that backburn, like you feel it kind of go through your sinuses a lot, in the same way like if you're obsessive and you've cleaned your home with a lot of bleach and maybe used a little too much and gotten a little bit of a contact high off of it. It is a similar type sensation. Not that I'm disclosing too much about my life in that case, but... sometimes we play with certain chemicals when we're trying to get a place clean for our parents, and sometimes there are different adverse consequences. So I'm basically just saying I can see where that I don't know if it's acidity, but like that kick to it would have sort of a chemically sense.
It looks and tastes like Windex. Are you sure it's not Windex?
No. Have you heard about the Russian scam that happened? It was probably a decade ago. They were trying to export their vodka without lots of high tariffs. They had to make it not vodka. So they put it in giant blue barrels and dyed it blue and called it window cleaning fluid.
I have cleaned professionally. I have professionally cleaned paintings using alcohol that was sold as a beverage.
Was it from Russia?
No one should have. No, I mean, it was grain alcohol. You should not consume it.
Was it from Russia?
But it was from a liquor store.
So maybe from Russia.
It might have been from Russia. Probably it was probably too cheap to actually be imported.
I feel like this might be like the next like B-line story or the B-line plot for the next season of The Americans. If not, that should certainly be pitched to the show's writers.
We keep talking about Windex. Are we talking about the blue Windex or the Windex that's clear because they simply didn't add the blue dye and called it natural?
It's the blue.
And now they have vinegar Windex because vinegar, I don't know.
Is it just bottled vinegar?
Probably.
They just bottle vinegar?
They probably bottled vinegar.
Yeah. They're and they sell it to the cool-ass maids.
They'd sell it to who?
The cool-ass maids. Have you seen the cool-ass maids car?
What?
Cool-ass maids?
K-U-L-A-S. Cool-ass maids. Cool-ass maids.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I'm serious. I'm not joking.
They probably get a lot more business just advertising themselves as ass maids.
Who says they don't in different alternative weeklies?
Is it David Sedaris who has a story about that? Who has a story about that?
About selling his ass in an alternative weekly?
About offering house cleaning services, and the person who called him got his number mixed up with like a also like house cleaning, and also you get some special treatment services.
Yeah. I think it is.
I think it is David Sedaris. And so he had this very awkward encounter where he was quitting this man's house and the man was expecting this special sexual treatment. But that was not what he was offering. He had the numbers mixed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's also a long tradition of covering sex work with, like, personal care and household cleaning, right? Like, this is a true story. I had two friends who were on semester at sea and went aboard in China and went around in China. Full of women who didn't actually know how to cut hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, their haircuts did not turn out well.
But did they have a nice time?
They had a confusing time, and it took them until they got back on the boat to explain to everybody around them why their haircuts were so bad, and someone had to bring them up to speed on the fact that the very scantily clad, attractive women who were cutting their hair, the reason why their hair looked so badly was because their primary job is not cutting hair.
Wow.
They should have buzzed their heads and gotten a blowjob.
It's quite the head buzz.
Oh.
Okay, so we have a couple of Jupiter cocktails here.
It does look like a combination of like an opaque yellow with some purple, which is creating sort of a greenish yellow. So besides being like the in charge of the other gods and being the god of thunder, what was Jupiter's, does he, like the god of what?
Well, I mean, Zeus...
God of philandering.
Yeah. I mean, Zeus was the one who took on Cronus originally.
Right, so he's like the leader of the gods.
Yeah, I mean that is pretty big. He's the first one to...
He's the best at winning.
Yeah.
The best at winning.
He's huge!
He's huge.
Oh, no.
Also, he raped people.
As all kinds of stuff. As a bowl, as a bunch of coins. Just like, how can I get this
a goose
this time? Yeah. No, I thought it was a swan. It was a goose? Come on. Class it up a little.
He was god of the sky.
The sky? All right. Except for not the moon or the sun.
Which might explain some of the antipathy that some of the other gods had toward him. maybe he should have looked to that.
Rebranded.
At some point, rebranded at some point.
This drink is delicious.
It is? Wait, ooh, really?
It does have an aftertaste of Windex. But it starts, I think that's the vermouth, actually. Because the vermouth gives it like a sort of like briny, acidic thing at the end.
And you're all about that.
Well, I am, yes. But it starts like sweet and nice and then sort of ends as sort of like there's a Windex. Briny.
It ends in Windex.
He was a Greek god. And he did try to fix everything.
He was a Roman god.
Well, yes. Zeus was the Greek god.
He was an Italian.
I'm trying to take it back to...
I married a...
The Greek... My big fat Greek wedding where everything is healed.
Oh, everything comes back to being... Oh, well done. Good play.
Yeah, it starts floral and sweet and then just ends in like full brine.
See, this is a perfect example of why there are so many different cocktails out in the world. Because otherwise there would just be one if everybody liked the same thing. Because based on Eric's face, he is not a fan of this drink.
It smells floral and sugary and nice. So it might be a trap.
It has the same, like, going up through my nose sense as the Barbamore.
I think it's an interesting flavor. I'm not all excited about the briny vermouth thing.
I think it's one of the reasons that we usually don't mix sweet flavors with white vermouth. Like, usually we mix sweet flavors with, like, sweet vermouth. And we save white vermouth for... I'm using dry vermouth, sorry. We save dry vermouth for, like, gin and citrus. Because then the brine and the sour work well. This one is trying to do sweet and
but
brine.
This is, but it's just... Not, it's a teaspoon of sweet. It should almost be just for color.
But it doesn't... It's lacking acidity. So it's...
It's got the orange juice.
Nah, it's not... Is anyone getting orange juice?
No.
I get acidity. Not orange juice, but acidity.
This does not bring to mind Roman gods, which have this like lure of mystery and romanticism surrounding them because our culture is based on a lot of Roman culture. This makes me think more of the Baba Yaga pissing in a bucket.
Oh, the Russian icebreaker. That's what it is.
Oh, that was the background?
Now we're here. Okay.
I would agree that this is not, like, you don't drink this and think, like, drink of the gods. This is not ambrosia from the heavens.
It's not even swan rape.
It's more like goose rape.
Goose rape.
Yeah, if this is Jupiter, I prefer Dionysus. If you go to the map room, which is the bar that specializes in, like, different beers, and they're a very serious beer bar. They have Miller Lite on the menu. You can have a bottle for $10. They leave it there just to stick it to you.
I'd love to see how many people order that.
I wonder if they actually even have it.
Oh, sorry, we're out. We just ran out.
Yeah.
But if you want a crappy beer, let me refer you to our bathroom.
Oh. Baba Yaga piss?
Baba Yaga piss. That would be a great name for a craft beer.
I was thinking Rock Band.
Well, that too. They're all the same these days.
Is it growing on you?
A little bit, honestly. Yeah, actually, a little bit. Like, I don't know that that would have been the thing that I would have ordered. Like, I know for sure it's not a thing I would have ordered on my own. But if I had been served it, I probably would have had the same reactions I've been having, which is to go like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
But it is hurting on me a little bit.
And since it starts nice and sort of ends badly, it's one of those things, like, you keep going back for another hit because, right. Like, the initial jolt is pleasure and then it ends in pain. Like eating a spicy potato. Like, your mouth is too hot, so you eat more potato to cool off your mouth, but it's spicy, so you... Sort of like that.
It sounds like an abusive relationship.
Yeah. This is
much like I would argue the Romans had with Jupiter.
Yeah. Maybe it is well named.
This is what Nero drank while the city burned.
Yeah, I would not order this drink again. I'm not sorry we tried it, though.
No, it's interesting. But, you know, this also is very similar to, like, so many other drinks that we had. Gin, vermouth, and then some crazy crap.
Yes, and most of them all taste the same, but this one tastes different and worse.
I don't know. The Fairbanks was just... It was like pink ocean water.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was like really, like there's not much else going on
gin
here.
Gin, vermouth, and something else. At least it was usually some lemon or something.
It was the Fairbanks was gin, vermouth, and creme de noyau.
Another sweet thing.
Yeah, it was a...
Stop mixing gin and vermouth with sweet things, people. Just cut it out.
This was a long time ago. They didn't know what to do.
If you're going to mix with sweet, they didn't have rum.
They didn't have anything.
Well, that's a fair excuse, actually. That's pretty good.
So what they had was, we were saying they had gin, vermouth, and they had whatever thing they could grab out of their pantry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they just went in and they gave it a new name.
That's, yeah.
That's most cocktails from this era, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, because vodka wasn't a thing yet.
If Jupiter stays ancient, I think we're not worse off.
This one could remain forgotten. It was interesting. I'm glad we did it. I like the Parfait Amour alone myself.
That was better than this.
Yeah. Diamond Tappy connotations otherwise. Like, I think... If you had that as like an aperitif or something, that would almost be a smoother experience than...
This is almost like Dime a Tap if you mix it with seawater.
Yeah. And not the fresh seawater. The stuff that's been sitting in the bay for a little while.
Is it Brine a Tap?
Brine a Tap.
Okay, we've had the cocktail. I think we're good to go. So, until next time, everyone, keep on thinking and drinking.
I'm buying a bottle of this rum. This is the same rum as used in the daiquiris. It's a Demerara rum, which I learned means it's only made in, Guinea? It's like a little darker than a Jamaican rum.
I like a lot of Guyana rums.
That's what I'm thinking of. Maybe I'm just pronouncing it wrong.
Thank you for listening to the Monster in a Glass podcast. I would like to thank Jason Cruz and Mick Lehman for unraveling the history in the front part of the show, the regular tasting team Kevin Ertajczyk, Rachel Rubin, Nicole Pizzini, and Eric Martin for joining me in the grueling task of sampling each cocktail we discuss, and a special thanks to the skilled bartenders at Ward 8 in Evanston, Illinois for taming the cocktail monsters we enjoy. I would also like to thank Mark Piani for the music at the head of the show. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic, and give us an awesome rating and tell us what you think while you're at it. And as always, if you're into thinking and drinking, come blacken your liver with us.
I am the god of every god. I am Zeus, that is my name. Up in the sky, looking down, keep an eye on my domain. Planet Earth, down below, I decide who lives and dies. I spare the ones who genuflect and go out and proselytize.
Tell the world.